This is Relationship Talks with Rick and Naaman. I'm Rick.
And I am very happy to see Dr. Saudia.
Wow.
And I am the DJ Blue.
Well, yeah, Dr. Saudia is here, of course.
Of course.
Why not? Dr. Saudia. I feel so
welcome. Welcome. Thank you for coming. We had a few technical difficulties, but we finally got those things sorted out by our engineers. They got it together.
Our engineers?
Yeah.
I'm an engineer now, too.
Y'all fancy like that.
Sort of. Sort of.
The producers, he says the stuff coming. He says, producer's assistant. I'm like, I'm of all
course.
Of these things.
Of course. That's all you gotta have all. A production assistant.
It's like all me, huh?
You do it all.
I do it all.
He has to.
I have to.
You're his
he
people.
He
has to.
I'm yeah, his people. Right. You hit the easy button, I come out the door.
Pretty much.
What do you need help with now, Naaman?
Something nerdy, apparently.
Apparently. So, apparently something. This is going to be the love episode part two. We're going to be talking about, what are we going to be talking about? We're going to be talking about unconditional love.
Nice.
Something that Dr. Saudia says that she knows a lot about.
You said that?
Do I?
I mean, that's what she said. Do I? This was like maybe like 4 months ago, though.
So maybe it's changed.
Maybe she forgot.
Maybe the information has changed.
Like, some things have happened
in 4 months. It's a possibility. A lot has changed in 4 months. That's a lot of days.
A lot can happen in 4 months.
A lot can happen in four months. Before we get started, just in case anybody is not familiar with you from our previous episode or from your podcast, can you please briefly introduce yourself, Dr. Saudia?
Sure. So without belaboring my name here, Dr. Saudia, I have a podcast, Eros Meets Agape Podcast. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist and licensed professional counselor. Should I say / relationship coach?
There you go.
That terminology.
Keep it all. Just bring it all in.
There you go.
I don't like the term, and not to discredit relationship coaches, but I kind of be. Is that even proper English? Kind of be.
It kind of be. I think
it kinda
so.
Kind of be like that.
I says that all the time.
You says that. There it
I
is.
Says that all the time.
There it is.
But I'm trying to think of a proper term only because relationship coach is kind of catchphrase nowadays. And
you
I
a
like
guru.
To really focus on emotions.
Oh.
That's what really makes it really special.
Your relationship guru.
Guru, is that the right term? Guru.
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 It's like, come
I love
guru.
Guru.
I love
there
guru.
You go.
Okay. All right.
She's a love guru, people. What's the role with that? And a teacher and a minister. Can't forget all of the titles.
All of that.
Sometimes that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Man.
You're kind of a big deal. I don't know if you know that.
I don't know. Everybody's a big deal in my opinion.
There you go. See?
What are they a big deal about?
So the main question of today that I want to ask both of you, and I'm going to answer myself, of course.
I hope so. Hopefully you're honest.
And I lean towards Dr. Saudia on this one because she's more of an expert when it comes to this kind of stuff. Of course, she went to school for it. Is unconditional love real?
That's a broad question.
Oh, it is.
Is it real?
Is it real?
Does it
As
exist?
To insinuate that there's a possibility that we are promoting something that doesn't exist?
Living a
I
lie.
Mean, unconditional love. Love is one thing, but unconditional love is a whole other thing. I feel like in today's society, especially, it's like the stuff that people call love, I'll put it like that, it's very conditional. Oh, you
love.
Don't agree with me today. That love is one thing, but unconditional love. Like, it doesn't matter. Well, here, let me tell a story. I was at a bonfire with some friends, and we were having a discussion about love. And somebody brought up that they were trying to figure out unconditional love. And the one thing that we were able to come up with is the bond between a parent and a child. And one of the people were saying that her son could do pretty much anything and she will still love her son no matter what. Mm-hmm. And thinking about it, it's not many people who can say that about other people. Like, I love you no matter what. So I feel like in the case of a parent and a child, that it exists, but it doesn't exist anywhere other than that.
Well, I think you'd have to go back to the parent and the child. Not every parent
That's true.
Feels that way.
That is true.
I was going to say that too.
All right. See?
He was going to say that
exactly
too.
What she said.
He's so smart.
And I'm going to tell you why. See, I'm going to tell you why. Because I was thinking, like, that's how my mom taught me. That's how I was raised. I was raised, you know, if you're going to love somebody, there shouldn't be any conditions. Otherwise, it's not real love. Like,
it's not real love.
It's not that. It's like more of a partnership. Yeah, they're going to do something for you and you're going to do something for them. So, I mean, in a sense, if you unconditionally love him, you love him because that's all you got. That's your heart. Right. That's it.
They're doing something.
It has to be taught. Yeah. Mm-mm. It's like back and forth. If you're loving him for something, that's obviously that condition. Mm-hmm. But if you're loving them just because you want them to be great, you want them to feel good, you want them to have a smile on their faces just for the sense of being happy, then there's no conditions there. It has to be taught, though, I think.
You think unconditional love has to be taught?
I think so. Oh,
most definitely.
Oh, can you speak on that?
So if I, let me think back to a time where I was actually working with this particular person, and I always have to switch things
up. Oh, so I get it. I got you. Anonymity. I got it. Can't say that word, but
just call this person Richard.
Wow.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. So I'm talking with this person, and I was really trying to get them to understand what it was they were thinking as well as feeling in regards to a prior relationship that had dissolved. And as I was listening to this individual speak, I'm hearing you don't love that person. You just think you do. But, you know, as a therapist, you can't tell someone that. You have to create those aha moments where they see it on their own. And in the process, in asking specific questions to allow this individual to see, no, you are measuring things based off of what this individual does for you. So once they were able to start seeing that, wait a minute, all of these points that I'm identifying have to do with me, not the other person. So like a chess game, it's like, oh, okay, well, now that you have that understanding, what did you like about the individual? Let's talk about that.
Wow.
And then it became,
yeah. It was all selfish.
Right.
So when Richard came out of this.
But in essence, the individual didn't see it as being selfish because it was, in essence, and I'm saying individual, but I think this is where we're bringing it back to what many people experience. When someone makes us feel a particular way that we have yet to experience or haven't experienced in a while, we get to a place where we're like, wow, I like this. I want more of it. So let me get to a place or find someone that can provide that for me. Okay, well, then you have to ask the question, is this what I truly value in a relationship, or is this feeling a void that I have? And if it's the latter, then we have a problem.
Yeah.
And most people don't ask the question or even know to ask the question. So as a result, how can I get to unconditional love when I have yet to decipher whether or not this is because something went wrong with love sometime prior and I'm now trying to fill the hole, or if this is something that is truly fulfilling and rewarding and allows growth to take place?
Wow.
Y'all looking at me like,
oh, well, see, I already knew those things. But like I said, he wasn't listening at the session that you guys had. So he didn't come out of these things.
Were you at the session? Like,
we know this was about you.
This is Dr. Klein.
Because I've had this conversation with you many times. you can't be so selfish. this is something we literally talk about. We talked about this earlier. You know, right, it's no big deal.
Yeah, okay.
But that's valid, though. That's like super valid. You have to kind of understand, like, If it is love, or if it is just some type of infatuation with something about this person that's making you do these silly things that you do for them.
It's funny because somebody reached out to me literally today, a listener, and they were asking me about an episode that we had. And I talked about a situation where I was asking an ex when we were together. I was saying, do you love me? And she said, yes. And I said, so if you knew it was someone out there that would be a better fit for me, who would love me better and give me everything that I need more, would you encourage me to go be with that person and leave me? And she said, no. and the thing is that me, like I've been in this situation before to where I would love somebody very, very much and I wanted to be with that person, but I knew that I wasn't the person that would have truly fulfilled them the way that they needed to be fulfilled. And I let them go and find their happiness, and now they are happily married and, you know, all of that stuff. Yeah, so
the problem, essentially.
So for me, like, I'm not thinking of that as unconditional love, but I think at the very base of love, like, that's what love is, being able to sacrifice a part of yourself in order to make sure that somebody else can succeed.
Now, wait a minute. I see that differently because I heard you present a hypothetical in one situation when you.
I mean, it was too, it was a hypothetical that I asked, but it actually ended up happening.
Okay, so in the moment in when you asked, you knew, okay, I'm not the best for you, so let me let you go. But because she loved you, it was like, no, why would I want to go experiment when I have what I'm desiring right now?
Yeah, that was a little bit different. It was two things in there. I mixed two stories together, but yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, one
was. Thank you, Dr. Saudia, for bringing that out of him.
No, see, that's what I get paid to do.
He does that a lot, though.
To decipher what's happening in between what's really being said.
Boom. So, like, one was a hypothetical where I asked and she said no, and then later on. In a different situation, it ended up being that actual thing. Like, I knew that I wasn't going to, in the long term, be able to fulfill the needs that she had because the way that I was fulfilling the things that she needed, it was out of myself. Mm-hmm. And I was sacrificing too much of myself, and I knew that I would not be able to do that. And if that's something that she needed to be able to sustain her, I wasn't the man for her.
Okay, now that's fair.
Good job.
Coming to a realization over time. That's good.
So, I mean, I feel like with love, even if you love somebody, it's like that. I think that old adage is like, if you love somebody and you can let them go. If they're yours, they'll come back. I don't know. For sure.
Oh, yeah. If you love someone, let them go. If they come back, they were yours. If they didn't, they never was.
Yeah, like your favorite movie. Was it Double or Nothing or...
Now, I must say, recently I've had a lot of time to watch TV, so Sylvie's Love is,
I'm going to have to watch that now.
What is it?
It's on Amazon.
Okay, I don't have Amazon, so.
That's fine, we can watch it over here, it's fine.
I don't have anybody that's going to let me use their code, so. No big deal there, right? No big deal, you know what I'm saying? No big deal.
So with that, like the conversation that we were having about unconditional love, it was actually with my neighbors. My neighbors, we were outside. It was a bonfire and we were having a conversation. So one of the things that I thought about is that all the different types of love that there are. And my neighbor was saying how she loves her sister. And no matter what her sister does, she's going to always love her sister. And she feels like that's unconditional love. But she was like, you know, like if somebody I was with, like if they betrayed me in a particular way, then I might not love them the same way. And I was thinking about, but the love that you have for like a husband or a boyfriend or something like that, that's more of like an eros. And the love that you have for a sibling is agape. Am I correct with that one?
Yeah.
Maybe, Phila?
Yeah. I love her. Okay, there we go. Love her. It's like, I wish I could like text you while he was talking that stuff he'd be talking. Like, I just need it. Like, geez, this is fascinating.
Calm down.
Keep going, Richie. Keep going. I love it.
But so what I was saying is that certain kinds of love, like I feel when it comes to Eros is one of the, I feel like that's something that can actually be betrayed. Like you can betray that love in a way, if that makes sense.
Well, I think it's a time and a place for everything. Okay. And then, of course, you shouldn't have too much of anything outside of, in my opinion, agape love. So you have, according to, if we go back to original sense, we're looking at Greek terminology. Right. So we're looking at, you know, your eros love, which is your passionate. That's what you sense when you're in a romantic relationship with someone. Then, you know, you have your phileo love, which is the your brotherly love. If you think of Philadelphia, you know, that's the concept. So it's a brotherly love, whereas I look after you, I care for you. Then you have your agape love. And I always do that. I always do a list of something. There's always one. It's Eros, agape, phileo. I forget.
You're just going to make it up. No. Chocolate. Chocolate loving.
Storge. Okay.
There it is. I never remember that one either.
Storge love.
I was close. Okay.
So
no, you weren't.
Your storge love is like, you know, your affection. And that's what you get with kids and with animals, right? So it allows you to have this sensitive, softer side. Of course, you know, you have your brotherly affectionate love where I'm looking out for you. Then you have, you know, your eros, which is this hot, intense passion and eroticism. Well, when you have your agape love, technically, all of those are incorporated within your agape love. It's unconditional, so therefore I'm able to look at you in your flaws but still love you in all of those three elements, in essence. So I should be able to have an erotic love for someone and still see your flaws but love you in spite of them.
Wow.
be your friend, dislike certain aspects of you in this friendship, but still love you in spite of that.
That's like me and Amen.
Has that love hate relationship?
Mm-hmm. Hate his guts. But I'll do anything for him.
No, but do anything, right?
But I'll do anything for him.
Right. You know, and that's, you know, we're imperfect, but yeah. In that imperfection is perfection because there is only one of you. And because of that, I value what you bring, and what you bring is yourself. And when we're looking at unconditional love, I'm not looking at the things that you do for me. I'm not looking at the ways that you make me feel. It's the fact that I appreciate you and your essence and just who you are. I value you as an individual first. That's the platform from which everything else builds upon.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Exactly.
Everything that she said times two. I was going to say, basically, for me, I think that love, period. Like, I don't use the terminology love unless I genuinely love someone. Mm-hmm. And once I genuinely love someone, and that's anybody, there's no way that I won't love them. You know, it may, you know, be somewhere I don't like you. I still love you. I still have that thing where I want you to do good. I want you to be good. But I don't cross that boundary unless I know I can love you forever. That's basically how I feel. So in my opinion, I feel like you can love some people with conditions. Like I love some artists, music artists with, I love when they, you know what I mean? Like, I love when they do this, like, oh man, they trash, you know, something like that. Or like, for instance, Richard, I'll give him as an example.
Why?
No, I'm not going to go there. But I mean, it's funny. Like when you're talking about your neighbors, like you said, what were you saying? Her sister, what were you saying with that example?
Oh, she was saying that no matter what, like what her sister did, she would love her sister unconditionally regardless.
Right. And I would say, I feel exactly the same way. However, I would say there would be a level of love that I would give, you know, so there would be more or less like if there was something perhaps that would betray the love that I have for them, maybe I wouldn't love them as much as I did, which would be totally unconditional, I would say. So I would say there would be some conditions for me in that aspect.
This is how I'm hearing what you just said.
Yes, this is it. Read me now. Yes.
If we're truly loving someone, mm-hmm. that love should not go away if it's real love.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with that. But we also know that love is, if people don't know, it is a verb. It's not a noun. So therefore, if I am loving you, but maybe you do some things that cause me, you know, not to want to be with you. So I share my business all the time on my show, and I talk about how I thought I was in a relationship where I was going to get married and have kids, but he saw differently. He was with somebody else, got them pregnant, and went on to be with them or what happened.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was a little tight.
That was a lot.
I was crushed, right?
That was, you should have been at that point.
I think
you had reason to be devastated.
I was devastated. But
then you went to Jamaica and got your groove back.
This isn't a movie. Stella got her groove back.
If only I could have lived the movie version. No, still here in Detroit.
There you go.
But in essence, even though all of that happened, because in my opinion, it is love. Just because you're not with a person doesn't mean, you know, you don't still love them. It's like when someone passes on. They're not here with me, but I still love them. For sure. Just can't act on that love. So when we're not with someone in a relationship, in my opinion, even if it goes wrong or if it goes horribly wrong in my case, I could not act on my love anymore. To this day, wish him the best. Don't have any.
But
harsh
you won't
feelings.
Act on any type of love. That's cool. Like, I like that.
I know. I mean, I definitely feel like you can still love somebody, but not want to be in the proximity with them or
and
have the same kind of relationship that you have.
No, I can be in the proximity. It wouldn't hurt me at all.
I mean, it wouldn't hurt.
I just
but
wouldn't act on it.
It's not something that, so like for me, I'm thinking about whether it's a friendship that ended or a relationship that ended. It's like you still wish them people well and you still love them, but it's like you don't necessarily have to be in their presence. You don't have to see them win, but you want them to win. You know what I mean? It's not something like I don't have to see you every day.
You wish them well no matter what.
Yeah, it's like our relationship is different because it's like, all right, we're not talking every day. And it's like if we were in a relationship, it's not, I'm not coming to see you. We're not being romantic anymore, but I still have that love for you. It's just different in a way.
I think it's still the same.
You think it's still the same?
And I say that because if we're talking about unconditional love if I choose not to be your friend anymore, or you choose not to be my friend or a romantic partner, I'm only removing how I act upon love. Like you said, I still wish you the best, but it's still love because I'm choosing to love me as well. I'm not letting go of myself to love you. So in my case, no, you go ahead and get two more people pregnant. I'm still going to love you. That's a deep scenario. I'm choosing me. When I choose to love myself, we don't sacrifice ourselves. If you think of marriage ceremonies, then when they have the unity candle, in essence, you have these two individual candles that are lit and then they come together to light the unity candle. They don't burn out the individual candles. Why? Because as individuals, you still exist in this union. I still must still be my... Is that a word? I still must still...
You good. It was right.
I must be myself.
Right.
And while I'm being myself, I'm still loving you because that's what made you love me. But the minute I stop loving myself, then how can you truly love me? Because when I was at self-actualization, being the best of me, hopefully people are doing that, then that's what you became attracted to. That's what you saw. And so I think even if a friendship or relationship doesn't work out, sure, in my opinion, why not still love them? I can't think of any ex I have that I don't have communication with. And it's simply because I don't have any ill feelings towards you. Just because we didn't work out, and like what you had mentioned earlier, just because me and this individual aren't together, I see that there's a different life and path for you. And because I have, hopefully, unconditional love for you, I want you to experience that. It's just not going to be with me.
Yeah, I feel that. I definitely feel that.
And see, what Richard needs to understand is...
Hold on, what?
you can love people completely, but you don't have to act on that love.
Exactly. This is true. That was good.
I think he just repeated what you just said.
Did I say that? Yeah,
I think we were both thinking it. I don't think either one of us said it. But Richard needs to hear this.
I don't know. I feel like y'all ganging up on me.
These are your scenarios.
We're here for you.
Right.
Y'all here for me. I could just be so vulnerable with you.
It feels like it, right? We feel like it, you know? So, but it makes sense.
I mean, it all does make sense. So you're saying that unconditional love is something that you can learn. So how do you go about learning how to love unconditionally? Because, I mean, that's not something that you teach in schools. And I feel like a lot of parents aren't necessarily teaching those things to their children.
Well, this is where we have to take the Dr. Saadia hat off and be real.
Did she just change her voice up?
In a clinical sense.
You're like, well, you know what?
Let me tell you something. Saadia has to come on board here.
Let me tell you something.
If we're going to be really honest, every parent isn't teaching that.
Yeah.
And I don't think we should blame parents because at the end of the day, well, what did they learn? Who did they learn it from?
That's true.
You know, and if I'm really being real, yet again, I mean, I don't want to make it seem as if everything has to be, you know, about race, but in this American society, African Americans haven't had the luxury of just focusing on let's raise our family and let's not deal with all of the outside pressures. Unfortunately, the majority of society has had that privilege, whereas we have not. So because of that, I don't have the luxury in previous decades to sit my family down and show them how to love and show them this is how a household should run. I'm not saying all other ethnicities and races are doing that, but they've had opportunities that we have not had. Thus, if I need to focus on getting a job, keeping a man off my back, when my man come home, make him happy because he's dealing with crap out in the world, well, then I probably don't have the luxury that maybe Karen has when her husband comes.
Gotta go back to Karen.
I'm just like, Karen in my mind is, I think she's single. But
it's like, I know somebody. It's like, I know a Karen and she's white and she's the sweetest lady ever.
I mean, that's what you think.
Amy, Alice, whatever you want to say.
Jezebel.
No Jezebel. Problems with Karens. But, I mean, it's just the fact that we as an African-American people have not had the luxury to solely put everything else to the side and say this is how we love. However, we are in recent decades allowing ourselves to really be able to do that. Mm. And because of that, we are in a better place. I don't think everyone is there. And when I say everyone, I mean everyone in the world. But it's something that has to be taught because how you were raised and what you're dealing with and your household, everybody's not dealing with happiness and glee. They have some traumas they're dealing with.
So what can we do as people, like if, when we have kids, what can we do to teach our kids to love unconditionally?
One, you have to be unconditional of yourself. Mm. I can't teach you what I don't know. I can't teach you what I am not modeling.
Period, poo. And so I would say that's valid. So I think we should have love classes.
You know what? I totally agree with that. Because if you think about it, they have financial classes.
That would be a dope subject.
Wouldn't that? I mean,
we could teach it.
When you started off this she episode, could teach it. Yeah, she I could. Thought you were going to like go it. Into the miseducation of Lauryn Hill, because that's right? what it sounded like. Welcome class. What is love? You know,
Lauryn Hill. Yeah, that's a great. Yeah. That's a classic album.
Yes, that is.
I love that yes, album. See? That's a great record. Now,
we have to. You have to put that. You're gonna have to do no, like copyright. Some post.
I'm not trying to get.
You're gonna have to do mm-mm. some post introduction no, type of stuff. Where you're gonna have to put that in there.
It's like gonna be like J. Cole, Miss Hill. Please don't sue me.
Easily.
But yeah, so learning how to love it. So how do we learn it? How do we model it?
Well, first step is, of course, healing any hurt that you have, any Amen. Traumas you may have, any childhood or relationship traumas that you Preach. May have, or hurts. Uh-huh. They don't all have to be traumas. Sometimes you, in childhood, you've experienced maltreatment, abuse, or neglect, so you need to heal from that. And I think it comes in three phases. And if I ever, I don't know if I've shared this with you all, but I always use this example of breaking a limb. So have either of you ever broken a limb before?
Yeah,
I have. I not. Have.
Okay, what did you break?
I have impeccable bone
I broke a finger. I broke a finger.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean as in like a arm or a leg.
Oh. He was that wimpy bro. Like I broke a finger. Get out of here with that.
You want to break
your
finger?
Break is not valid.
You keep talking. You're going to have something broken tonight.
Whoa. Whoa. No bendies there, buddy. Yeah. They all do the same thing.
It's going to break that whole arm, Naaman.
Wow. You see what I'm saying? But this is the love he needs. Some he needs this class.
I mean, I'm expressing my love through breaking your limbs.
He needs violence. This class. Yeah, right. Is. Through violence. There you love go. Through violence.
That's the difference.
But I love you, cuz.
And this is why his therapy sessions cost a lot. This is
why.
That's
a different kind of therapy.
See what I'm saying?
Dr. Saudi, don't help him out.
Jeez.
No, but if you have ever broken a limb, like, I like to use a leg. So let's just imagine, you know, you're, let's just say roller skating, right? You roller
skate. Or I beat him up. I broke his leg because he was talking.
No, we're going to say roller
skating.
We're
going to keep this nonviolent.
Thank you.
So we're roller skating. You didn't make the turn like you thought you did, right? So you fall and you break your leg. They ship you off to the hospital. They check you out. You definitely have a broken leg. They put a cast on you. Once they put that cast on, they ship you off home, right?
Right.
Most people are in that concept. You're home, you're living a different life now because you're like, dang, I don't know how to sleep and how do I shower? How do I bathe? How do I do all this different stuff? So you're immobilized and it's allowing you to experience life differently. Mm. You are more restricted in how you're living life. Mm. So once you generally get accustomed to this change, then, okay, you get that call. It's time to go to the doctor. They look at the x-rays. Yep. Take this cast off. Everything is healed. The bones have mended. So the first thing the doctor tells you to do is to stand up. You heard them clearly. Your mind is like, oh, okay, let's process that. Great, let's stand up. As you go to stand up, your brain says, hey, whoa. Mm-mm. Do you remember the last time we did this? Let me take you back. And it gives you a flashback. In order to make it real, your heart connects the emotion to the experience that you're visualizing. Mm. So because of that, in essence, what happens is you stop and you're like, no, I can't do it. And the doctor or the nurse are like, no, it's okay. You're all right. Finally, they have to coax you and like, we'll hold your arm. We'll hold you as you walk. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I can do this. All right. So let's think about this in regards to love. You have a heartbreak. When you have a heartbreak, it's the same concept as you broke that limb.
Okay.
And now my heart is broken. I'm immobilized. I'm sitting at home. I'm not doing the stuff that I was doing. I might have been active before. I'm not active now. I might have been more engaged. I'm more quiet and more recluse now. I'm thinking back on previous memories and what I could have done better and how I should have done or said things better.
How you should have punched him in the face.
Non-violent.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is what I'm saying. I'm not used to this non-violent Martin, factor.
Not Malcolm. Calm down, Malcolm.
Martin, not Malcolm.
Right. Martin.
All day, brother.
Not Malcolm.
So when this happens, you have to get to a place where you are in the realm of healing. And healing is when you are, okay, I have to get off this little stoop I'm in, this little pity party. But what happens is we get scared, where we are afraid to love again without the fear. And in that broken place where you are moving towards a place of healing, you have to push yourself. And again, the heart tries to remind you, hey, guess what? You remember the last time? Let me remind you. And it'll try to say, no, we can't like people like that again. And it'll try to take you back to that place of hurt. And you have to learn to push past it. Mm-hmm. It's the risk that we have to actually embrace, because it's also the risk that will bring us love again. But if we're holding on to the pain of the past and the memories, then we can't get to a place where we're actually becoming whole. But we generally have to be in a place where we have someone really kind of walking us through that. Rarely do we do it on our own. That's where that support system comes in. Mm. But if we're just healing from a hurt, you need that support system. If you are learning how to love, depending on the age and where you are and what you're dealing with, depends on what stage you're in. Am I learning how to love from a place of brokenness, or am I learning how to love and I'm actually healed? I just don't know how to love. And you just have to kind of figure that out. And when I say figure it out, I'm not saying it as in, hey, you guys are on your own.
Right.
I mean in the aspect of knowing where you are first. If I know I'm broken, I know I have some stuff I need to deal with, guess what? I hate to tell you, but you're going to have to face the fear from their past. You're going to have to deal with it and tackle with it. And I have a lot of people that I talk to that they hate me. I always say in the beginning, look, there'll be some days you'll love me, there'll be some days that you hate me. At the end of the day, I don't care which one it is. My job is to help you. As long as you pay me. No. My view is, as long as you get what you came for. And when you tell me your goal is to be in a healthy and loving relationship, my job is to get you there. I have yet to meet, well, I want to say meet because I know none. But if you think about it, how many athletes that are in their pinnacle of their career that say that when they're starting out, that they just love their coach the entire time when they're trying to get to that place. Yeah. That coach is not there to be your best friend. Yeah. They're there to get you to where you want to be. And so in that aspect, if I'm working with someone and healing through emotions and helping them to learn unconditional love, I have to dig into the crevices of their pain, because it's the healing that they need, and they need someone to help to model that. So if they don't have it at home, our job is to be the bridge and to show them what that looks like.
So I would say, from what you said,
oh Lord,
it would seem to be, if you are healing and relearning, you need some type of love rehab.
I would agree with that, most definitely.
To get it back together. Because, I mean, that's what, when I break your leg, you're going to need rehab as well. You know what I mean?
And we're going back to this, Malcolm.
And that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, like, technically, we're going back to that. But realistically, if you do break your leg, you know, you will go through that process. They'll ask you to stand up, and then they'll send you to some type of rehab. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, honestly, that sounds like that would be like the perfect solution to healing from like a breakup or something like that. You have to put yourself in the mindset of a rehab. Yeah. So if you get your heart broken, you know, maybe you do go out and you try and love again, but you know, you still have to remember, you have to learn to re-love, you know, the way you used to before you got your heart broken. Because I would assume you learn lots of different things in that relationship, because you're learning how to learn that person, mm-hmm. learning how to love that person, learning how to do things with that person. So once they break you, you have to get back on the horse.
I wonder if that's why a lot of times, sometimes the love that you have starts to get distorted. Because you think about having like a broken bone, mm-hmm. and when you're in pain and one of your limbs, you try to compensate. Yeah. And sometimes when you compensate, that ends up hurting you in other places.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So I'm guessing too much, like, if you're learning new stuff and you're still hurt, you're learning it in a way that may not be healthy.
That happens all the time.
So, wow. The thing that I really like about the way that you explain things is you make abstract thoughts into practical stories.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that you really get across when you're talking about these thoughts and these ideas. and these concepts. You take something that's really abstract, that's hard for people to grasp, and you put them in a practical term, and it's easier to digest.
I don't always get it right.
Well, I mean, you don't always get it right.
She's
but
a
you.
Doctor, so I mean, I feel like a degree would kind of get you there, right?
I know
like,
people with degrees that are not that eloquent.
Not myself. I like my degree, but yeah. I don't lean on it.
So would you say the information and the I guess the confidence that you speak about love, would you say that comes from either your experiences or school?
I would say it's a combination of experience, definitely school to know how to use it. But overall, for me, it's my relationship with God, because he's the one that illuminates everything and puts all the pieces and the elements together.
Illuminates.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So thinking about unconditional love and thinking about loving in a healthy way, what are some signs that you can see if and behaviors in somebody else that's different? Like maybe you think somebody's loving you unconditionally, but it's very unhealthy. What's the difference between being loved unconditionally and being loved in an unhealthy way? How can you distinguish between the two?
It's kind of a difficult question to answer only because you don't know the context in which it may show up. So if someone is loving me unconditionally, they can still have issues, but are able to discuss them in a healthy manner. They won't shut down or get quiet on me when there's a problem. If there's conflict, it's not threatening to them. It doesn't cause them to believe that, you know, the problem is us as individuals, and as a result, the relationship is in jeopardy. However, when we look at it from the aspect of, okay, we have some issues, am I loving in a healthy way? And this is unconditional love. When it's distorted, it becomes totally about you. And it, in my opinion, should never be totally about you. Love isn't about you, because remember, you're giving it. In order, mm-hmm. this is the only thing on Period. This earth that you give away, that if you actually give it, you get it back 1,000 times over. Mm. So if I'm looking at another individual and it's unhealthy, then it's all a matter of they need to fix this. They need to work on this. They need to change this. Well, then I'm not loving them unconditionally, because I want them to be different.
Wow.
That's it.
That's deep.
That well, was deep.
It doesn't really answer your question. Just
I mean,
it's
deep,
so
but I mean, I know. I mean, I hit you with the broad questions, but you asked them pretty well.
I'm trying.
She's Dr. Saudi with you. Why are you so
pressure
surprised?
Is pressure.
your legend builds every time you visit.
That's it.
All right. So, do you feel like movies do a good job of representing love? And I mean, not necessarily unconditional love, but just love in general.
No. Because once it became so easy to get sex, it made it harder to acquire love.
Mm.
It's easy? What? Wait.
Once it became so easy to get sex.
Was it what?
In the movies?
What's easy? What's easy? What? Wait.
I mean, most of the times in the movies, you're what?
Hooking up.
Certain number minutes in and you all are already together. And then something goes wrong. And now does he want, you know, and then the questions come. When it comes to love and sex, in my opinion, everybody's different, but I think you just get kind of jumbled up when you're mixing the two as far as life, but especially in the movies. What? Sex in the movies lasts, what, 7.7 seconds? And it's
if you know what movie you're watching.
We said movies, like in the theater, not... Other
still, that's a broad array of films. It depends on what you're talking about.
But the concept. Well, let's just
let's continue.
The point I think I'm trying to make is it isn't easy to acquire love in the movies, because every main character in this movie has some type of issue that is keeping them back from experiencing this love.
Yeah.
But other things get in the way that cloud their judgment, in my opinion. In essence, I think sex is one of them, because you become in a place where you aren't able to communicate your true thoughts because of fear of vulnerability.
See, and this is the weirdest thing, Dr. Saudia, because I've been having a conversation with some people in my life about some people how.
In your life, huh? Just some people. So not me. Don't look at me. She looked at me like, what?
Creating and spending lots of time with people can, if you have an idea of what something is, I feel like, you know, you can tell people like, oh, for instance, I don't want to be with you. I just want to be friends. But I think that, you know, on that level of intimacy, you know, you're creating something, right? Mm-hmm. You're creating a deeper love. So it's like that other person may not see that. No?
Now, there can be situations where you are, one person is experiencing greater intimacy mm-hmm. than the other.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, your heart wants what it wants or who it wants.
Yeah.
Very true. Thinking about love and thinking about how it can be unconditional, do you think that you can be romantically in love with more than one person at the same time? And let's think about, like, the players. You know what polygamous I'm saying? I mean, guys players. And girls. So they'll have multiple men or women, whatever it is. I mean, I'm trying to be all inclusive, really. Okay. So somebody has multiple lovers and they say, oh, I love all of them. Can you really, in your opinion, this is all opinion, you two name it. Do you mm-hmm. feel like someone can be in love with more than one person at the exact same time?
I personally, no, because if we're looking at, well, you said lovers, so I'm assuming you mean sexually involved.
I mean sexually or non-sexually.
Okay, so let's tear that apart. So if it's...
Tear it apart, though. I mean, you can't just break it down. We got to tear it apart.
Isn't it a similar concept?
We're going to tear it apart. So we're going to tear apart sexually, non-sexually.
All right, here we go.
So if we're looking at non-sexual and I'm dating a few people, in essence, this is just from my experience. It's my own personal opinion. I'm not saying this is in any book anywhere. Most guys generally have perfect girl syndrome at some point in their life. Mm. Perfect girl syndrome is, no, she has to have this, that, and that. And
Eddie Murphy boomerang.
Good point. Yes. Unfortunately, you generally don't find 100% in one person. You'll find, I think T.D. Jakes said there's the 80% rule. You will find the majority of what you want in an individual. But what is missing will cause you to go and look for that in other people. The problem with that is if I have 80% in this one individual and I'm missing the 20%, now I'm on the hunt for the 20%.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when I get the 20%, guess what? I'm missing the 80 now, so I can't combine them. That's where the perfect girl syndrome comes from. I'm trying to figure out how do I get all these people in one individual. But until then, I must date these multiple people. So if I know such and such is really funny and likes to have fun, is very fun loving, but then I love a serious side, and then so-and-so is that individual and I get to bring that side of me out. And then so-and-so is very family oriented and we have a great time with their family and doing these lovely family vacations or what have you. I'm having a great experience that is true and authentic in each of these individuals. However, when I'm missing a certain element, I have to go to that individual. And unfortunately, when are you going to really be in love? You can't, because when a situation arises that is not in that individual, well, you go find the answer in the other individual. So even from a non-sexual aspect, I'm looking for all these different elements. I can't find them in one person, so I'm going to date a considerable amount of people until I come as close as I can. People end up getting a little bit disillusioned because of that. And if it was the sexual aspect we're adding to it, that's only going to cloud my judgment, because now if I'm having the most bomb sex of my life,
right,
and this person has an issue, I'm probably going to hang in there a little bit longer because they got the bomb sex and their sex is better than so-and-so. And in a guy aspect, this is being real, the only thing better than good booty is new booty.
How do we figure out the difference between like, love, infatuation, and obsession?
Obsession is a little on the psycho side, right?
Yeah, it is.
That's that person that's in your window, mm-hmm. calling, stalking you, and all that.
Because I feel like all of those things, infatuation, like, and obsession, at one point, I feel like different people interpret that as love.
I can see that.
No. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, I from a non-psychological, like, just like, oh, I'm obsessed. Like, I love you. I love her so much. I got to, like, look through her window. Like, it's people crazy like that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if we were moving to looking through the window, but still being obsessed, when you think, when you're in love, your oxytocin levels are high to the extent of an addict. Mm. So when you're in love, you are in essence high like an addict. You must have more of that in order to get that same high again.
Wow.
So because of that, you know, it would look like you're obsessed. An addict is obsessed, right? We're getting more of that drug. So I must be around you. That's why you're like.
That's how my ex was.
She couldn't get enough
like
of you.
Addict. It was obsessive. It was weird.
Oh, only she was in love. You weren't?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Well, that's valid because I definitely wasn't like that. I definitely wasn't like that. I wasn't peeking through nobody's windows.
She was peeking through your windows, or she was just obsessed?
She was just, I think, I mean, in a sense, she was, but I was with her, so it wasn't really called obsession, but it was an obsession. I mean, based on that terminology alone, it was.
Okay.
Just kind of weird, now you think about it. I mean, because if you don't feel like that about somebody and they feel like that way about you, then that's obviously a problem. I've grown since then, of course. I've grown since then. But when someone feels that way about you and then you don't feel that way about them, it's kind of weird. So, I mean, I could see how.
Is it weird, though?
It is.
It is kind
of
weird.
I don't find it to be weird.
Oh, because you got a lot of fans.
No, that's not true. Mm-hmm. But I can say in my past, I have had experiences where people have, let's just say, really enjoyed me.
Oh, whoa.
And I have not. Well, I don't want to say they were all in love because I can't say that. That's like saying, no, are you a good kisser? I don't know. I'm not kissing me. You got to ask the person.
You tell me.
So,
what do you think?
It's just, you know, and I think it's not an awkward place because if we go back to unconditional love, for example, I dated this guy, fabulous, great, great individual. And I just remember the moment when he told me, you know, because I'm very honest. I'll tell someone along the way, this is where I am. I'm not where you are.
That's real.
I don't believe in leading people on. I don't want that coming back on me. So in being honest, I remember one day he just simply said, I love you enough for the both of us. And it crushed my heart because I felt like.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's
a Drake lyric.
Yeah. it was sweet, but in the same sense, I felt bad. Not like as in pity, but I felt bad in the aspect I wanted him to experience love.
The love from the other side equal exactly. to what? Yeah.
And I felt like I have to let you go because otherwise you're not going to have what you want. And then later on, I don't want you resenting me either. Because
it will. I feel like it always does turn around back into resentment. And so I think it's almost like going back to the equally yoked thing. I just, if you're not loving on the same level, I feel like resentment does come. And it's kind of hard to be, I don't want somebody to be so in love with me and I'm just kind of like, about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You like, want what they have and they should get what, you know, they have.
That's what I'm saying. But it was like that. You know, you have somebody like calling you, wanting to be around you and, you know, wanting to do all these interesting things with you. And while you're okay with it, you know, you want to do those things too because you're in a relationship with them. You don't want to do the things that they want to do, you know, to the extent that they want to do them. You know, like maybe you want to hang out, but you don't want to be there all day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like stuff like
so
that.
So you make the sacrifice, like I want to spend time with you, so I hang out doing this with you, but not all day.
Exactly. And I personally think it needs to be noticed if you feel that way about somebody and it's obviously not mutual, then it's probably, you know, that time to have that unconditional love and just walk off. let them go and explain to them that you can't be, you know, what they are obsessed about.
Definitely.
You can't be in that position.
I mean, it does feel like obsession. From the other side, if you're in like and they're in love and they're just like so infatuated with you that they're chasing you, trying to get more of it. Even when I'm dating now, I try to be like, all right, don't fall for me like that. I'm not there. You know what I'm saying? Like, take your time.
You just got it like that. Get to
know me a little bit better. You know what I'm saying?
He's had lots of experience in the last 3 or 4 weeks. So.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Whoa. Okay. That's what I'm saying. This whole conversation is therapeutic for me. You make me
sound like I'd be out here like.
I didn't do anything. You said it. You the one got all the different hypothetical scenarios. No, like, that's not what we were talking about.
Isn't that my job as a host to come up with the hypotheticals?
And you didn't come up with them, though. These are actual life instances.
This is not life instances.
A lot of this stuff, like the relationship he was talking about, that was like a week ago.
Oh, my gosh.
He's been with him.
This was like not, that, huh? No, it's not like that
at all.
It
seems like it is.
It would be nice if it was. It's not, though.
Would it be? See, that's a deeper conversation. Why would that be nice?
Wow,
see,
man, you're really digging. This is really digging, man.
Thank you, Dr. Saudi. You've brought everything to the surface.
Now that we've addressed all of your problems.
All of my problems. Yes. All of my problems. I'm gonna send Dr. Saudi a check for this episode.
You need to. Thank you very much. I'm telling you.
But no, I mean, like, whenever you start to date someone new, it's the thing that I worry about. Like, you know where you're at. Like, I never want anybody to be moving, falling in love with something that they think I am. And not actually taking a chance to know who I am, and they're falling in love with an idea. It's like, take the time, get to know me. I'm not going anywhere. Just ease up. Like, just
give you your space.
You can't change someone's feelings. Some people really fall hard very fast.
I don't know. It's kind of scary for me.
It is. Well, thank you.
I mean, the thing is, how do you land? So if a person knows they're falling, no problem. But in regards to how do they land, what are you doing in regards to that as being the individual who's falling?
Right.
How are you landing? Some people, too much too soon, and then you crash and burn.
Yeah.
Other people, takes forever, and it just doesn't take that long to figure out you love somebody and want to be with them. Mm. Then, you know, other people, it's just like, okay, this is a nice pace. And then there are some people, literally, you fall in love, and 6 weeks later, some people are getting married, and it works for them. You know,
that ain't me.
There's no.
This ain't a Lifetime movie over here.
Just saying, I know that is a Lifetime
Hallmark.
Everybody falls in love in 3 days. That's like movie Rosewood. It's like, what? 3 days later?
It's an obsession is an obsession, right?
That was right.
Obsession.
Right. So, Dr. Saudi, you have a book, and it's called Get Naked, Landing in Love Again Without Fear. Mm-hmm. So I have a question for you, and it's always a question I like to ask, and I want to get your opinion on this. Also, a song. I think I sent you the song before too. And for you, what does it mean to be loved naked?
To be loved or to love?
To be loved naked.
Well, if I'm to be loved, then that means someone is being completely open and vulnerable, and I'm creating a space that allows them to be able to do that.
So, Naaman, what about you? What does it mean to be loved naked?
I would say probably the same thing, or along the same lines. It's just someone loving me, period. I mean, if you're completely naked, they love you, meaning they're not looking at the clothes you're wearing. They're not looking at anything like that. And I don't know if that's just the physical aspect of it, right. But mm-hmm. It would be similar when you break it down or tear it down in the mental aspect. You know, they love you no matter what. They love the picture of you, the essence of you, the vibe of you, the whatever you. Then when someone starts talking about you, they love you. You know, they think of you, they love you. Anything, they just love you. If you start screaming and start running around, he's crazy. But I love him. You know what I mean? Anything like that, that's my opinion. Because I know a lot of people love me unconditionally because I'm quite frankly crazy. I'm a lot to handle.
I'm just a lovable guy.
Yeah, I mean I'm a lot to handle, I know that. And the thing is, that comes with knowing me. Mm-hmm. So if someone loves me, if someone talks to me after I completely insult them, like Richard, like I know Richard loves me unconditionally. Mm-hmm. I can see that because, hey. He has to. It's like he really doesn't have a choice.
It's like my little brother over here.
I know where everything is in his house, and I'll literally steal it. No, I mean, but and that's what I would say. So, you know, just basic surface. There's meaning, like if you were to visualize it, it would be like who you are, and then your name, and then but your name would be first, right? If you see your name, and it's like just love. Period. In that name. It doesn't matter what's there. It's the name of you. It's just love. period. Because at the end of the day, your name is all that'll be left, you know, on this earth.
So if someone sees you, they should see love.
Exactly. If you love me, that's how you feel. You love me based on the beginning, which is my name, the start of me. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, from the time I was this to where I am now. It's just you love me because you love me. Mm-hmm. That would be my definition of naked loving.
For me, it goes all the way back to the unconditional love question. And to be loved naked for me would mean that no matter my flaws, no matter my vulnerabilities, my imperfections, I can show you all of that. I can show you where I'm weak. I can show you where I'm ugly. I can show you where I'm insecure. I can show you all of my imperfections. And no matter how ugly they are, you're still going to love me. And if I can be vulnerable and I can just truly, because it's so hard for people, even with just themselves, just be themselves. Mm-hmm. And you think about naked to me is just like being yourself.
Yeah.
So you're giving somebody your true self and your innermost thoughts that you really don't share with other people. And if I can give somebody that and they still love me, then one, I know they love me unconditionally, and two, they're loving me naked.
That's good, gentlemen. Very good.
Thank you, Dr. Saudi, for bringing that out of us.
I didn't do anything. I just listened.
So, Dr. Saudi, can you tell people where they can find you? And actually, can you tell us more about your book, too?
Sure. So you can find me on all social media platforms at Eros Meets Agape, and of course on the Eros Meets Agape podcast. The book itself is really I don't like to really just say it's a book, because I think it is for people who know they're in a place where they are trying to get to a state of themselves where they are ready to love without bringing on the baggage from past hurts. So I generally, it's like a workbook within the book. So it walks you through each chapter in learning how to let go of past hurts, being able to identify them, know what triggers are for you, and then taking that information to use it to heal, not allowing it to really kind of bully you, and then moving forward in a place where you are able to still date even though you're healing, but now being in control of your emotions as opposed to your emotions being in control of you.
That was a huge synopsis.
So
I know, I'm so wordy.
You are very wordy.
But your words are
going to work. Word up, though. That's good.
Word up, though.
I'm working on it.
Real words.
You know, I love teachers. It. You know how teachers are.
And the thing is, you're not just saying stuff. You know, you're not just going on and on and on and on.
No, stop pointing.
For those of you who can't see me, I'm pointing directly at my cousin.
Lord.
But yeah, you say, I mean, it's no, you're wordy, but when I say it's a lot, I don't mean like it's a lot. You just said a lot. I mean, it's
no, I'm quite verbose.
To absorb it.
Verbose.
We are sponges.
No. Absorb it. You guys are just sweet.
The delicious Dr. Saudi.
The delicious.
That's it.
Delicious. That's it. Ooh, okay.
That's it. That's it. That's the verb I'm using, right?
Well, I think we're going to step on out of this episode. So, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you go and pick up Dr. Saudi's book. I will make sure that I put a link to the Amazon where you can buy it in the show notes. When the world opens back up.
If.
When. When.
Right, not if.
When.
You want to come out one day.
When the world opens back up, we're going to do something. We got to do something. We got to do a book signing and a live episode recording with Dr. Saudi. We're going to do something. Sure. So, when the world opens back up, y'all, look for that. But as always, thanks for listening. To be a part of the conversation, you can find us at Rick and Naaman on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can find me at Dodsism, and that's Doddsism. And you can find Naaman.
I am the DJ Blue.
Make sure you subscribe and give us a rating on Apple if you're so inclined. Just make sure it's a 5-star. But until next time, boys and girls.
There's always a next time.
Remember.
I will.
Okay. Have a good one.